Hey girl, hey, welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker of the live daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. So here's the deal. On my radio show, we're like married up in there, okay? Yeah, like till death do us part, or until you want a divorce, totally up to you. But this podcast is where we date. Yes, you date me, you like, you get to know me, you try me on, you feel me out. And this is where I get to woo celebs, tastemakers, and influencers into falling in love with me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm like a professional social climber. And yeah, I wear that title like a badge of honor. But for reals, my favorite part of being in the radio industry for 12 plus years is getting to meet interesting, inspiring, and exceptional people and getting them to talk about the pettiest things in the world. So if you love real talk with a touch of cattiness and a ton of laughers, then you're in the right place. I hope you enjoy this little snack. Hey girl, hey, welcome to another episode of my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor. I'm so excited right now. I have loved this woman for a long, long time. We met at SiriusXM Radio, and I haven't seen her in a minute. We have a lot of catching up to do.
We do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Colonna.
Hey girl, hey.
Hey girl, hey.
I'm so excited to see you.
Girl, where do we even begin? When was the last time I saw you?
It's been so long because I would always come see you in New York.
Yes.
At Sirius.
At Sirius. We call that place the facility now.
The facility.
They fired me.
They did?
Yes, queen.
I did not know they fired
you. I know. We can talk all about it. They call me on a Saturday and they're like, your last show was yesterday. Isn't that so savage?
Yeah. And I know. Your show was so popular.
Thanks, girl. I know. I know. I think, honestly, I don't know exactly what happened, but clearly not something good if I got fired. You know when you work for like big corporate companies, it's like my head must have been on the chopping block for like X, Y, or Z, who knows why. But I think that like the second they could like say, oh, you done cross the line. It was like they threw the book at me. The punishment didn't fit the crime.
Did they give you a reason?
Kind of, sort of, no.
No.
It was very ambiguous. So, I just kind of chalked it up to like, let's get out of my non-compete. Let's get back on the airs doing radio.
Yeah.
Let's get podcasting, like full speed ahead. But dude, it was crazy. Have you ever been fired?
I have.
Ugh.
It's not a fun feeling.
Is it, what, like, I mean,
I got fired from a restaurant, so it was like extra sad.
Oh, tell me that story. Make me feel better.
It was like, okay. I was worked at this place too for like 5 or 6 years, which is a long time at a restaurant.
That is a long time.
And they had, the owner was, he was really, really sweet, but it was just, he was Greek and the whole family was, they were amazing, but they were just a lot, you know.
Always, I'm already envisioning
always
it.
In your business.
Yeah.
But really awesome people. I mean, I probably wouldn't have said that the day after they fired me, but. And then they had this like obsession with, for a while, the son had an obsession with like how you would decorate the drinks, like
Stop.
Putting like mint on the strawberry margarita. And like you'd be slammed and he'd be like, where's the mint? And you're like, who fucking cares, dude? Like, I got to make the drinks. So he was like, I felt like he was like already hating me because I didn't properly garnish my cocktails. And then they were going to have a meeting one day. And it was my day off and I had an audition and I never got auditions. This was in my 20s. Like if I had an audition, it was like a miracle. It was like probably for something super sad, but I was like, I got to go to my audition. And it was my day off. This story is so sad. And then the guy fired me because I didn't go to this meeting. And I was like, it was my day off. Like you can't make, I'm not on salary. Like
right.
You can't make me go to a meeting at a restaurant on my like one sad day off.
No, that's not like a thing.
No. And then I ended up like, I was so mad about it because I was like, I've worked there so long. I took him and I sued him for unemployment and I got it.
You know what? Our stories sound very similar.
The best part was the owner. The owner came to my unemployment meeting.
Stop.
And he was like.
Lawsuit.
Yeah. Like he came to the meeting and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be weird and awkward. And the, you know, like judge or whatever in this little unemployment hearing
God.
Was like, so what do you have to say to Sarah? Like what he goes, she should get unemployment. She didn't have to go to the meeting. And the judge was like, okay.
I guess we're done.
So I guess we're done. And then we rode down the elevator together, me and the owner.
Oh, so awkward.
It was amazing.
I didn't file for unemployment because the paperwork was so intense.
Yeah.
It was too hard.
It was a lot.
And I gave up.
I think I maybe had it for like a week because A, I needed another job and unemployment for a server isn't very much.
Exactly. My parents own, my dad's an eye surgeon. So he owns like, you know, his own practice. And so they have employees. So now I'm like, you know, I own my own business. So I have like my subscription-based radio show now. And the people, the listeners from Sirius came in droves and showed up. And so it's like
that's
fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And now we're doing the podcast.
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, you know, I kind of know a thing or two about running a business from watching my parents my entire life. And they're like they go crazy over unemployment because they had an employee steal from my mom's purse. Like my mom caught her red-handed.
Oh my God.
And this bitch filed for unemployment. And got it. Massachusetts. Yes.
Oh my God. That's insane. I know. I even felt weird going, but I was just so angry because I worked there for so long. And I was like, worked all the time. And I was like, you fired me because I didn't go to something on my day off.
That's insane.
I swear to God, I think I got one check from unemployment. And then I was like, A, this is a lot of work. And B, I need a job.
Exactly.
So I think I had a new job within like a week anyway at another restaurant,
Oh my God. And now look at you, girl.
And now look at me.
So Sarah Colonna, you know her from a bajillion and one things. I mean, I met you when I feel like you were on Chelsea Handler's show.
Yeah, on Chelsea Lately when I met you, for sure.
Of course, obviously. And then also with your books.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would come to New York, do stand up, and that's when I would come see you over at Sirius.
And now, at the facility. And now you are on one of my favorite shows on Netflix, Insatiable.
You love it?
I love it
I'm
so much.
That makes
me
happy.
It's so freaking good. I saw you post it on Instagram, but simultaneously, I'd also seen the show pop up, like not realizing you were on it.
Yeah.
And once I put two and two together, I was like screaming and crying at the TV.
It is so much fun. I had a really good time doing that show.
So explain to the audience what it is if they haven't seen it. I mean, the best way I can describe it, it's like super campy.
Yes, it's very campy.
And
it's a satire. It's like so over the top.
The best way possible. But it is so, it's like Weeds season 5 crazy, season 1. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And it gets like, it does have moments of like realness too.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of cool to add into something so crazy because they'll say the most outlandish thing and then you'll see like, where it kind of comes back to humanity a bit,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
But I loved it because I got to do like everything in it. It was like the showrunner was like, well, we hired you because you're funny, but then we figured out that you could act too. And
then
we
really
got to give
act?
You like serious scenes with, because it's basically about a girl who is bullied her whole life and then she gets revenge. And she was overweight when she was bullied in the show. And then she gets thin in the most ridiculous, insane possible manner.
Most ridiculous.
And so when it first came out, they put the trailer out, which I thought didn't really represent the show. And everyone thought it was, oh, she's happy now because she's hot.
I remember like the reviews. Well, we live in such, and as a comedian, I know you can speak to this, in such overly PC times. I don't know that I think it's 100% bad, but it's definitely not 100% good. When you're especially in an entertainment world, like where you want to make people laugh.
Well, something like that, I kind of understood because I was like, I don't think the not understood the backlash because it was so insane because I was
people
like,
people were like, this show's about fat shaming. I'm like, have you watched it?
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, like it's a cautionary tale because she doesn't end up happy. Like
exactly.
She ends up more miserable and then insane. And like,
It's a beautiful skinny shaming show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what it is. Beautiful skinny people. You should be mad at us. No.
Oh, fuck you, beautiful skinny people.
Yeah, it's like, there's so many different messages in it, obviously. And but people did, you know, they judged it on this short trailer and they were like calling for it canceled. And I'm like,
I know
all these people's jobs gone because, and you haven't even seen the show, at least see it first.
Right.
So,
give it a shot before you petition to have it taken off of a channel. That's the thing with the world where you live in right now. It's like people, I feel like the fans, and listen, we love the fans. Without the fans, we can't do our jobs, right?
Yeah.
But there's also within fandom, there's always like trolls and haters, and those people, I think for the first time maybe like ever really in history, feel like because of social media, they actually have a voice and they can
get so loud
and they can get somebody fired and they get off on it. But like, guys, remember, like we're people too. Like, how about we come to your jobs and try to get you fired?
Yeah, just because.
I will do it.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
And I'll go to your boss and be like, when she's at work, she's trying to get me fired from my jobs. So fire her.
Yeah, because she's not working.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But
I was glad when it came out, and I don't think critics loved the show still because it is, it's not for everyone. Like, you have to be into the fact that you have to understand that it's not serious.
Suspend your disbelief.
There's this, there's some storylines that you're like, what's happening? What, like, I would get the scripts and I'd be like, are you guys serious? In the best possible way, which I love because I was like, there's nothing like this on the air. There's nothing like it, you know? And
yes.
So I was glad when it came out because the people that love it so much. And it, I was just like, okay, cool. People get it. Like, yep. We're good. Yep. You know?
And that's all that matters. I feel like when you have that like niche fan base that's like so diehard, that's all that matters.
Yeah. And also, there's so many shows on that like I may not want to watch, and I don't try to get them canceled.
Just don't watch
them. I just don't watch them.
Imagine that concept.
There's just so many, like, there's just shows that I'm like, oh, that's not for me.
Right?
So don't watch it.
I know. It really is, like, the mentality behind it blows my mind. There's actually, so you know how there's, like, stages of grief?
Yes.
There was an article I read about the 6 stages of trolldom. Want to hear the breakdown?
I do. I like this already.
I'm so fascinated by it because, like, I can never quite understand the psychology. I understand the psychology of hating things. I hate, like, everything. I don't understand the psychology of trolling something that you don't like. Like, when I don't like, I disengage. Like, I got a divorce because I didn't like.
Right.
I disengaged.
I disengaged. Yeah. You don't troll him every day?
No. Well, actually, talk about him quite a bit. So, because I consider trolling.
You don't try to get him canceled?
I don't try to get him canceled, no. So, these 6 stages. So, then the first one is discovery, where they're like, oh my God, this person or this show, like, this is great. I just, like, I'm discovering it. So, they like it.
Yeah.
Then they love it. So, it's like, oh my God, I love this. This is my everything. Like, I am, like, game for this. Then stage 3 is a stage of ownership. I own this. This is mine. I found it. I'm obsessed with it. Like, I discovered this.
Yeah.
And then the 4th stage is that they realize that they actually don't own it. So this is when we start to rebel.
Oh, I see.
So it's like, oh, fuck, wait, other people like it too. Oh, wait, like, I'm not the only one listening. Okay, I'm starting to have bad feelings about it. Stage 5 is I hate this, okay? Like, now I hate this. I can't control this. This pisses me off. It makes me angry. This is the real kicker. Stage 6 is I will destroy this.
Oh.
And that's the stage that makes you a troll. Because, like, we can all pretty much, like, understand, like, discovery, liking something, then loving it, then being obsessed with it, feeling like, I feel that way about Dave Matthews. I own them. They're mine.
Right.
Then I go to their concert. I'm like, oh, shit. There's, like, a lot of people here.
Right.
But it still kind of feels like mine. And maybe there's times, like, even with, like, Real Housewives, let's say, of New York. Like, I hated Bethany Frankel. But, like, I never quite got to the I will destroy this. Actually, that's a lie. I did on my radio show try to destroy her. But then I realized that I'm just like, who the hell am I? And I realized it's too big. So then I just went back to enjoying her.
Right. But there's also a thing about being like, you can be like, I don't like this. And you can make fun, you know, in like certain ways. And there's also like with Insatiable, again, is a good example. Because there's like, I understand people wanting to like squash harmful messaging if that's what they believe is harmful messaging. But I also believe in, why don't you wait till A, it comes out and you see the whole thing.
Give it a shot.
Or B, just don't let the people that you know, I don't know. There's a lot of, there's people's shows where people get murdered and like, all, you know what I mean? That doesn't mean you go murder someone. Like,
right.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of people trying to control sort of narrative of entertainment shows.
I agree.
Which is weird. But because they're entertainment. So it's very subjective to what you like or what you don't like, right?
It's art. Exactly.
Yeah. But with the trolling thing, like you're saying, just in general, like I go on, like if I follow someone in the Instagram and I'll see like, you know, especially someone who's like politically loud or something, right? Like Alyssa Milano, who is on Insatiable and very political and very, nobody has any doubt where she stands.
Nope.
And she'll just, if she just posts a photo of herself, it's like,
just a picture for smiling.
Just a liberal fucking trash. And you're like, oh my God, why do you follow her?
I know.
Why don't you just not follow her?
I know.
There's so many people I don't like on Instagram and I don't follow them and I don't comment. I don't say mean things to them. It's just like,
I don't follow
them. I mean,
them.
I probably said mean things to them in the past, but I try not to anymore.
I trolled one person.
Oh,
and her name is Maria Sharapova.
Okay.
And I was watching a match, and she was against one of the Williams sisters. I'm pretty sure it was Serena, who I'm a huge fan of. And she was just doing what she does with the, oh, and like, girl, it's like a lamb having an orgasm. And so I was very annoyed by her, and I thought that she was doing it as a distraction tactic. This was like 5, 7, 10 years ago. This was before, I mean, we just knew that she clearly has like no self-awareness when she's on the court.
Right.
And so I like tweeted her like something like, you know, oh my God, you're a cheater and you're just trying to distract with this like lamb noise and blah, blah, blah. And I posted it. And then like within 5 minutes, I was so embarrassed. I'm like, who am I? She's never going to see it. I'm a loser. I'm a dork. I deleted it immediately. That was my only experience with trolling.
That was your six stages of trolling. I've completely done that same thing where I'm like, okay, why am I taking this so personally? But it's okay to have a reaction, but then you have to step back and go, is my reaction appropriate, or do I need to really scream it all over the world and try to ruin something that I don't really understand yet.
Well, guess what, trolls? Neener, neener, because neener, Insatiable neener. Got picked up for season two.
Season
on
two.
Netflix, so in your face.
Yes. Yeah. And I can't wait to see what she ends up doing with those storylines.
Oh, so. My God, I can't wait. It's going to be so good. Okay, so Insatiable, love it. Also, you're still obviously doing stand-up comedy. You have a show this Friday.
Yes.
December 7th.
December 7th at the Everett Theater in Washington, in Everett, Washington.
Yes.
That's why it's called the Everett Theater. It's supposed to be a really cool theater. I haven't been there, so I'm excited.
Do you love stand-up?
I do. I get, you know, I haven't been touring as much because of the show, and then I was like, okay, when it comes, I should try to stay in town and try to get more work, because every time I leave town, it's like, oh, can you audition for such and such? And you're like, well, I'm on the road. So it's like a catch 22. I mean, in a good way, it's like, you know, I'm not complaining, obviously. But so I stayed in town most of the fall because the show was coming out, and I ended up getting like a five episode guest star on Shameless.
Oh my
which
God.
Is so cool. Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. It airs in, I guess, starting in January, because, you know, they split
that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. They split their season in like two. So I'm in the last five episodes.
Girl.
Of the
can you give us a little hint as to what your character? I, won't get
I don't
in
know
trouble,
if I'm allowed to. Yeah. I don't really know their rules. So I don't want it. But it's super fun. It's a very fun role. I had so much fun. I was so excited.
I mean, that's what a great show. I'm actually seasons behind, but that doesn't mean that I don't love it. Like, I will catch up.
Yeah.
It's
been on for nine seasons,
so
it's hard to keep
forever.
Up. Like, right
I mean,
now.
But the acting on it is just incredible.
I know,
and the
so
cast
good.
Is so amazing.
It was so cool to work on because it was like, oh, this show's been on for nine seasons. Like,
do you play a dreg of society like the rest of them?
Yeah, I mean, she's not great.
But the beauty is, like, you find somewhere in your heart you love these people.
Yeah.
They're like, they're the ultimate system milkers, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Deadbeats.
Yeah.
All of them. But, like, yet so lovable.
Yeah.
Deadbeats.
Yeah.
They're people, too.
And they're like, the cast is cool. I mean, I only worked with a couple of them specifically, but it was like, just everything. Like, you could just tell the show's been, it was like run like a machine.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine.
But, like, perfectly, you know, like, well-oiled, but also, everyone just like knows what they're, I don't know. It was really cool. It was fun to work on.
So in your career, you've like done it all. I mean, from getting fired from Greek restaurant to doing stand-up comedy, working with Chelsea Handler, writing your own books, going on tours, acting now. I mean, so what's your, could you pick your favorite thing that you've done in this area of entertainment?
I mean, I love them all. Like, it's, I would say equally in a way, but right now what I, like, my dream had always been to be on a show. So that when I got Insatiable and got like as a series regular, I was like, this is what I've always wanted. And then when we actually got picked up to be a series, I was like, oh no, this is crazy. You know, this is so exciting. So I would say right now, that's like what I love doing the most, just because I had always dreamed of it. And like, I'd always dreamed of stand up and writing books and all that too. But like, I guess it's just when doing stand up, it was hard to get anyone to hire me for acting work because they wouldn't think of you.
I get it. There's the people that want to put, they want to pigeonhole you. They want to put you in a category.
Yeah.
In the entertainment industry. There's so many different things you can do, but everyone's like, oh no, you're this, you're that. Well, I mean, everyone loves a label. Right?
Yeah. And which is strange because like the best thing that happened in my career was getting on Chelsea Lately because it gave me his exposure as a comedian to finally get,
right.
You know, and I was writing on that show too. So it gave me, and then we were on the round table. So it was like, I'm writing for her, but then I'm also doing my own thing on and showing my own sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And it did more. It did that for a lot of so many comedians, like such a good show for comedians.
Yes.
Like that, because they had three comedians on a night. It's the only show that's ever done that. You know, get plugging your dates, having people come out to see you.
What did that like, do for your ticket sales? Just
completely
insane.
Like, it completely changed them. Like, and those fans like stick around, too. Like they still come and they're really, really loyal fans to that show. And then they just like love the stand-ups they found out of it, you know?
Yep.
So it was so helpful. And then in the other way, it was like, but then you couldn't get any acting jobs because people were like, well, oh, but she's a comedian on like a, you know,
it's
so,
so
weird. But I mean, I again, no complaints about that.
Yep.
But it just took a bit after that show ended for, I think, for me to get sort of in front of people in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was like really grateful for Insatiable for. Like,
guys, it's time for just a quick interruption of the podcast to talk about one of our new sponsors. I'm so excited. BetterHelp.com. Yes, it's like my dreams and prayers of therapy and counseling have been answered. So is there something that maybe interferes with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp online counseling is there for you. Yes, you heard me. It's therapy and counseling online. It's so easy and convenient and so delicious and I love it. So BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in all the issues like depression, Stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, you name it, they've got it. And by the way, I've got all of the above. And the point is, so does everybody else. We've all got issues, man. I think it's your job as a human to seek counseling to better yourself. If you are a member of this society and earth, you owe the rest of the people in the world to be more self-aware. And that's why I love counseling and therapy. So you get to connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is obviously confidential, and it's the best part, so convenient. You can get help literally on your own time, at your own pace, in your own space. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Like, I get to text with my therapist. Whatever therapist I choose, I apologize to you in advance. I'm going to be texting you all day long. And if you're not happy with your counselor, you can actually request a brand new one anytime at no additional charge. This is just like all things perfect. And best of all, it's truly affordable. And I love that. That's an affordable option, because sometimes people get scared of counseling and therapy. Like, maybe it's not going to be, you know, affordable in your budget, but this absolutely is. And my listeners, of course, of Taste of Taylor get 10% off your first month with discount code TOT. So why not get started today? I know I'm signing up right this second. Go to betterhelp.com/TOT. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you're going to love. And again, don't forget, if you don't love, you're going to find one you do love. Betterhelp.com/TOT. And now back to the podcast.
And then another role in your life, and I can't forget it because your ring is fucking blinding me. You are a wife.
I'm a wife, which is super weird. It's so weird.
That you were like, I feel like your entire thing, your books, your stand-up, it was all about like being single and dating and fucking.
Yes.
Randos.
Yes.
That was,
and sometimes you fuck, sometimes you fuck a rando and then you marry him.
So I feel like we've spoken since you got engaged and gauged, but I'm not really that sure.
I don't think I've seen you since we got married, because it's only been 2 years.
Oh, that's like it? I feel like you guys have been together forever, just because I love your love.
Yeah, he's the best.
So how the fuck did you guys meet? He's an NFL player.
Yes.
You were like the high school cheerleader with like the captain. He's like the quarterback.
It's amazing.
Oh my God. This is like what dreams are made of.
Yes.
American dreams.
He stalked me on Twitter a little bit. Oh, yeah. I remember telling you this story, but like it was so long ago.
So and he played for the Seahawks.
His
name is
John Ryan. Yes. He's the punter. He was a Seahawk for a decade, and then they released him this year.
Ugh.
And replaced him with someone younger and cheaper.
Oh God, like a true white man.
NFL is a brutal. The guy that is playing for them now is very talented. I won't take anything away from him.
NFL is a white privileged man in a midlife crisis.
It's a brutal business. It is. I literally wrote a joke about that the other day, because I'm like, oh, it is kind of comforting to be married to a man who knows what it's like to be replaced with somebody younger and cheaper. Like, we have that out of the way,
right?
But. Yeah. So anyway, but he's played. He'll be on another team, I'm sure, soon.
Yeah.
He's played for 13 years. So he's. But he, yeah, we met. He was like on. I was on Chelsea Lately, and he was like, he watched it, and then he
shut up. And he was like, I'm in love with her.
I don't know how he knew, but because he was completely right. Like he's like the perfect. We're the perfect pair. I hate to say that about myself, but we are.
Yep.
He's just like. I couldn't have created him in my head any better.
Is he your best friend?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's so important. When I was married in a terrible marriage, I was like, if you're a man, it's your best friend, you guys are fucked up. And now I'm like, no, scratch that. I was fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think, like, whether it's the same-sex relationship or, you know, I mean, heterosexual, I think your person should really be your best friend.
Because you guys
important.
Are.
Yeah,
you guys
Taylor.
Yeah.
How gay is that?
It's pretty gay.
Can you believe I'm gay?
I know.
Did you know?
I didn't know you were... No, because I just knew you were married, so I never thought...
To a man. I know.
So I never thought about it any other way.
So many gay people parading around as straighties. I had no idea. I wasn't even aware that I was gay, like, at all. I'd never been attracted to a girl, never kissed a girl, nada. And then after I got divorced and, like, I was like, I kind of want to make out my friend who's a lesbian, I was like, this is just a crazy thing divorced people do, right?
Other divorced people are like, no?
No, they're like, no, absolutely not. So I did not expect, like... 3.5 almost years later to be with her still, but she is my person. We will
best
fucking friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is. And like, I know what you're saying before though, when you're like, that means, you know, like you have to have, no, you can also still have your other best friend, your close friends.
No, you can't. Not when you're a lesbian.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. Different rules. Different rules.
I am your new best friend.
Right.
She's like, stop smothering me, please. I see my old friends. I'm like, no, I hate them all. No, I love them. Just kidding.
Yeah. No, you can still have your friends, and obviously, but it is important because that's the person that you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that see the real daily shit for you, right?
So he sees you on Chelsea,
right? And then
he's like, "You're mine." He just knew.
He says he just knew. And then
how long?
This guy Ross Matthews, you know Ross Matthews. This guy Ross Matthews.
This guy ever heard of him?
This guy Ross Matthews.
It's like, oh yeah, my aunt Cher. Ever heard of her?
Cher's her aunt.
No.
No.
Can you imagine?
I would love
it. If Cher was my aunt, I would never fucking get fired from Sirius.
No, that's true. She'd be like, not up in here.
Oh man. So Ross Matthews officiated your wedding.
Yeah, he was on the sidelines of a Seahawks game because he's a big Seahawks fan. John went up to him and was like, "Hey Ross, nice to meet you. I know you work with Sarah Colonna. Can you introduce me?"
Stop.
Which is hot.
I love that. Yeah. So then?
Well, so then Ross was like, just tweet her, but go focus on the game, you know, like whatever. He's like, I'll put in a word for you. So John like tweets me, and then Ross was in the, you know, in the mention with it. And I was like, what is this creepy athlete like hitting on me on Twitter? Like gross. And then I text Ross. And I'm like, what's up with this guy? He's like, no, he seems so sweet. He's like, I follow the Seahawks. I've never heard a bad thing about him. He's not gross. Like, I think you should actually respond to him and also get me season tickets. And I was like, okay. And then we ended up just kind of flirting back and forth. And then
on Twitter.
Yeah. On Twitter. And then of course, you know, as you do, you move into the DMs.
Oh yeah.
And then you move to text messaging.
Yep.
And then we talked for like 2 straight months before we ever even met. Always on text message.
I think I love this because you're really like, you're delaying the way that you're normally dating, right?
Yeah.
Because you're normally, you meet, you hook up, right? And then you lose interest immediately.
Yes.
So this was like, this was almost like an antiquated dating.
Yeah. Like he courted me.
Yes.
Over text message.
And you got to like know each other before you introduced private parts.
Yeah. And then we met, went on our first date. He came to LA to bring his family to Disneyland, and he came to pick me up for a date. We definitely had sex on our first date.
I love you.
But at that point, I was like, I've known him forever.
You're my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Wait. And then when did you make it a fish? Was that hard for you?
Like
weird
a week later, he was like, he said, I forget, we never talk on the phone. We just text. Uh-huh. Both of us hate talking on the phone.
Oh my God. My girlfriend sucks at talking on the phone. It's so frustrating.
Do you like to?
Hello. Yes.
You do. Yeah.
I mean, I love talking on the phone.
So she's like me. Like, I can't. And luckily, he's the same, though, because he can't stand it either.
Like, I'm like, is something, are you okay? She's so, especially people around, forget it. She's like, it's like, forget it. Just text me.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, like my dad, even with my dad, which is so rude because I mean, it's my father. Like if he wants to talk on the phone, but he's like the one person, and my mom, like I'll call them back.
Yeah.
But sometimes my dad, I know, is just leaving me a message to try to get me to call him over something that was a one quick sentence thing. So I'll text him back and I'll be like, yes, I'm coming on Wednesday.
And I don't want to talk
about
it.
And we don't need to talk about
it. We'll talk about it in person.
I'll see you Wednesday. Oh, I'm the worst. I hate talking on the phone. I don't know what it is. I used to love it when I was like in high school.
I know. I mean, I just hate typing. My fingers are so fat and small. I have baby hands. I literally have dimples for knuckles. No. So it's a lot for me to text and stuff. And I hate, if you send me an email, like, good luck.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, I'm not an email fan anymore. Uh-uh. Especially ones that like reply all and a lot of people. I don't understand that.
Forget it. One word answer. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But dating a professional athlete, okay? And I think you've got one of the good ones.
Yes, I do.
But was there any fear whatsoever in being like, oh, professional athletes? Because I feel like they do have a bad reputation.
Oh, for sure. I definitely like, that's the first thought I had. And that's why when we first started flirting, I was just like, well, I looked him up. I was like, he's really cute.
So cute.
And I was like, I don't know. It could just be fun, you know, like whatever. I don't really watch football. Maybe I'll watch it now. That kind of thing. I'm a huge baseball fan. Like, I'm a big sports fan. I always have been. So, but I never had like a football team. So I was like, I'll watch the Seahawks. This will be fun. And now I'm like obsessed with everything about punting, and I know way too much, and I scream at people.
I love it.
Oh my God. I would like I went off on people in stands one time. Like, one guy booed my husband, and I fucking lost my mind.
What'd you do?
Like a crazy football. I was screaming at him. I was like, he's been on this team for 10 fucking years. He had one bad putt. I was like losing my head shit on him.
What
I
mean, did the guy do? Did he back down?
Oh, he backed down, and I swear to God, he's probably never booed anyone ever again. Like, he's probably living in a bomb shelter. Like, he's probably like, what just happened to me?
Oh my God. I was like,
the heat rising in my chest was so hot.
When you're like that,
I know.
Like blind with rage. Oh, God.
So blinded with rage.
I get and there I'm glad so quickly.
I'm glad nobody got it on like video or something because I'm sure
it would have gone viral the worst way.
I'm sure it was completely over the top. Like, but just don't. I love him so much. Like, don't. You dare
right?
say something about
You're like,
him.
Say something about me. That's fine.
That's fine.
Don't come for him.
Don't come for him.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah, which like he, by the way, doesn't need protection. Like he's so used to
it. I'm good, Sarah. I got it.
Like, but luckily he was nowhere near that. I told him afterwards that he couldn't stop laughing though. He was like, I can just imagine your head exploding. And but I don't even know why I brought that up. But I just, yes, I thought he was like, oh, is he gross? Whatever. This will just be fun.
Yeah.
And then honestly, okay. So when we first started talking, it was right when he was about to go to the Super Bowl for the first time, which they won that Super Bowl.
Oh, fuck. Was that against the Patriots?
Yes.
Fuck you.
No, wait. No. That's, no, wait. Sorry.
I get so confused. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
the Patriots got so many Super Bowls. No. I can't keep track.
Yeah. No, I went to the one where they lost to the Patriots.
Oh, we won that
next year.
Clearly,
yeah.
I am such a fucking bad fan. Yeah. I don't know shit about the Patriots. All I know is Tom Brady's hot.
He is attractive.
I will say I'm much more of an Eagles fan now because of my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, I mean, last I rooted for the Eagles when they played the Patriots last year. My parents gave me,
That was exciting for Philly. I was excited for that.
It was, right?
This was when they played the Broncos and they won the Super Bowl.
That, epic.
So that week, he was texting me all the time. And I'm like, you know, he's going to the Super Bowl. Like, this is so, I don't know. I just assumed he'd be busy, you know.
Right.
Which he was, but. Right after the game, right after they won, he texted me from the locker room, like a photo of him holding the trophy. And then he's texting me all night at the party. And I was like, if there's ever a chance to run around, we're not together, right?
Right.
So if there's ever a chance to run around with your dick out
and get
some
strange,
like,
yeah.
it's after you won a Super Bowl.
Legit.
And unless somebody was like allowing him to do that while he was on top of her, he was definitely not. I guess a fan might. And I was like,
I'm just going to text this girl that I'm dating right now.
Yeah.
You might know her, Sarah Colonna.
So my friends were like, this guy like
loves you.
He's not fucking around. And I was
he was like in the corner at the party texting you.
Yes.
That is so cute.
Yeah. So that's when I was like, I don't think he's gross. And plus, like just from talking to him, I started to get the sense that he was very sweet and not at all like a gross pig. And he's not.
He isn't.
Yeah,
I can tell.
So I never worry I don't worry about any of that stuff, which is so nice because I was like the go through your fucking phone girl.
Oh, really?
With my ex-boyfriend because there was always shit there.
Of course.
And then he would make me feel crazy for like being the person that would go through a phone because that's not me.
Well, that's called gaslighting.
Oh, it's so gaslighting.
It's so fucked up.
He was such a fucking gaslighter. God, I hated him.
He was a fuck boy.
Oh, he was the worst. And he was like, yeah, but he was like not even... I don't know. It was more like he needed attention.
Uh-huh. He was insecure.
He was insecure, even though I don't think took any part in that. Mm-hmm. So, so he was always like, you know, weird emails on Facebook and all this stuff. I've had to ask John for his code before, like, because he was driving or something.
Right.
And he's like, I've given it to you a million times. I'm like, I don't memorize it. I don't need to.
Hey, guys, just a quick break to talk about one of our new sponsors. I'm really excited about our new vagina-friendly sponsor, Systane. Yes, I said vagina-friendly. What exactly does vagina-friendly mean? Well, I'll tell you. Systane only makes products that are organic, vegan, fair trade, sustainably made, and, of course, free of synthetic ingredients commonly found in other brands. Yeah, they take care of us over at Systane. Systane is a one-stop shop for vagina-friendly essentials, from condoms and lube to period products. They really want us to know what we're putting in our bodies, and they want to give us really good options. Systane is a service that you can subscribe to online, but a subscription is not required. Either way, their products are delivered to your door. Although, I would say, like, why not subscribe? Because I forget. Like, I've had my period for, what, over 20 years, it's like still a shock to me every month when it comes. And I'm like, ah, where's my like emergency tampon? So if you're on a monthly subscription, you don't have those problems like I have anymore. And the best part is Sustain gives 10% of their profits to women's healthcare organizations. What a company. Right now, listeners of Taste of Taylor can get 20% off your first one-time order and free shipping when you sign up at SustainNatural.com and use code Taylor at checkout. Isn't that a good deal? Yeah, 20%. That's SustainNatural.com, promo code T-A-Y-L-O-R, for all natural vagina-friendly products that put women's bodies first. And now, back to the podcast.
Right.
Like, I don't...
Isn't it so nice oh my God. To
so
trust?
It seems like such a sad thing to have feeling. To say, but oh my God, to be so trusting is like the best thing in the world.
How does being happy affect your career? Because this is something that I struggle with a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel when I'm at my most miserable, I'm at my most creative.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm happy, I'm like, is this the beginning of the end? Yeah. I have to get my real estate license, which I probably should look into.
No, I was honestly worried about that. And someone even said to me, they were like, how's your stand-up going to be affected? And I'm like, oh, but it doesn't change your stories, A, that you have already.
True.
And it doesn't change your outlook on things. Well, it changes your outlook, I guess, a little bit.
Slightly. But I mean, I'm still pretty negative.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy, but still very negative.
There you go. So you're fine. I don't think it changes. I thought it would. I was worried about that. I've had a hard time writing another book.
Uh-huh.
But that's just because I'm like, do I have enough stories right now? And maybe it's because I don't have the same stories I used to. But when I thought that with my second book. And personally, to me, I think my second book was way better than my first one, just uh-huh. because I thought I like kind of knew how to compose it better. Like I felt like I was just a better writer by then.
Right.
And that I told, I wasn't as afraid to tell like more heartfelt stories with comedy, whereas my first book, I was like, oh, I think it just has to be more laughing, laughing, laughing.
You want it to be more like more of a set.
Yeah. Yeah. Like more like I was able to tell a story. Like I wrote a fucking whole chapter about having to put my cat down. But ended it with some kind of humor, but I wasn't afraid to just be like, this was completely miserable. I was single, putting an IV in my cat, trying to keep him alive. Oh, like the most pathetic
that is
story.
The most single woman story.
Oh, it's the most single woman story. It is so, and I was like devastated the entire time. And I'm like, I'm going to write this as a chapter and I'm not going to be afraid. And it was like the one of the chapters that most people were like, oh my God, I related to that. And like, but you know.
Yes.
So in that sense, I'm like, okay, I also, my point is, I thought I had no stories for a second book, and I did when I started writing it, so I think I just have to sit down.
Oh, you have to come out with a third.
Yeah, I feel like I want to talk about, like, all the, like, marriage is, I don't know, I don't feel
marriage
like
is
it's,
funny.
It is funny.
It just is, even when it's happy, it's still funny. Even if you're so madly in love, your partner still makes you fucking crazy at some point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you guys, like, fight ever?
We don't really fight, but... I don't know. We don't really like. I used to think it was because we didn't live together all the time.
Right. Well, what's that like too? Because when he was in Seattle, like, how do you do that?
We would just sort of. It was like a long distance. Like, I would go there during the season all the time. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time there. But if I had to come back for work or if I was on the road, and I was also for a while, like, my agent would schedule shows in weekends where they were playing away.
Oh, that's
games,
genius.
You know, and. So I would be like, okay, he's playing in Dallas, and I did a show in Dallas.
Perfect.
So that kind of helped, too, to be able to just, like, be. Mm-hmm. And then last year I just started. I was like, well, I don't want to miss, because I was missing a lot of games in the beginning, so I didn't want to miss. You know, I'm like, I don't know how long he's going to be doing this, and, like,
exactly.
It's only half the year, so I can tour the other half. And so I would take the fall, and I would mostly do shows in the spring.
Does he come with you when you travel?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, too. It's so nice.
I don't know how he... can't like how he stands it, like, to me. He goes to all my shows, and if I have five shows in a weekend, he'll go to all of them. I'm like, just go eat dinner or go do something. He's like, you know, I mean, granted, usually it's in like fucking Omaha, so he's like, where am I gonna go?
He's like, nope, thank
I'm good
you
at the club.
I'm just gonna chill in the green room.
But even in Chicago, like, he'll just go with me to all, and I'm like, you can do something else.
He's your baby shark.
He likes it.
That's what we call it. Tay and I, we're baby shark and mama shark.
I love that.
Again, so gay. Okay.
Is that a lesbian thing?
I don't even know. I just feel like we do lots of gay things. unintentionally. Okay, so we're running out of time. So before I let you go, you brought me a purse. I know. Time flies with you, girl.
Yes.
So you have this bag company.
Yes.
Okay.
It's
explain.
Called Clutch Women.
So Clutch Women.
Clutchwomen.com.
Okay.
And I, so it's the NFL bag policy. For any of you sports fans, know that the NFL bag policy is super frustrating.
It's such bullshit.
It's the worst. And they, it's basically, if you have anything over 4x5x6x5, it has to be clear.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I think, because they call it all clear, they think your bag always has to be clear.
I actually am one of those idiots. Yeah, so I did. I was like, who has a clear bag? And then Zara started coming out with like, it's like the new thing to have all these clear bags. I was like, oh, I guess those are for football games.
Yeah. Everyone wants to have a clear bag.
But I don't want a clear bag.
I know, I don't either.
I've got embarrassing shit in my purse.
Yeah, so I came up with the idea to do a bag that's the exact size that's allowed in. So they have a measuring thing when you go in.
Shut
and you put it in there.
Up. So you are like,
you're allowed to carry that clutch.
This is like the like carry-on for football games.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
And you are like the away luggage of purses for football games.
Yes.
Genius.
Now, some of them are in team colors.
And cute.
I just started it, so I don't have all team colors yet. This I gave you a black and silver because you go to Phillies games.
Girl,
and it looks really cute with Eagles gear.
So cute.
Isn't it cute?
And what is it? It's like, so it's see like this a, thing on like the a back? Snake.
Yeah. They're all vegan leather, but this is like black snake texture. But they're all vegan leather, even though I don't know how you can call something vegan leather, but they do. look, so you can, this little thing in the back is because you can put your strap through that and carry it around your waist if you want to be
like
hands-free.
A fanny pack.
Yeah.
Oh girl, I'm doing that. I love a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Now all the kids are wearing them across their chest.
Yeah.
They're so crazy.
So you can do, the strap can be shoulder or I like to wear it crossbody. But a lot of people wear it around their waist as well. And then inside there's a little writing about why you're a clutch woman. A little play on the word
because you're fearless
clutch.
And you're strong and fucking clutch.
Yeah.
It doesn't say fucking, I added that.
No, too. I should have put that in there. I just wanted to do something like that, like it was also kind of like a woman, you know, empowering little message on the inside. So
I
every
love
time
that.
You open it. So yeah. And I'm,
where can people get these? Because this is awesome.
Yeah. Clutchwomen.com. They're made in the USA, right here in Burbank, actually.
Amen. Thank you.
Which, you know, so the good thing about them is like they're stain and water resistant. So it's like, they'll last for a long time, and you can also, I mean, it's cute, so you can use it as a night out bag. So
absolutely.
I understand if someone's like, I don't want to pay $100 for a bag to go to one game, but for people that go to games regularly, this is like, and it's
going
to last forever.
I'm going to get these for all of Taylor's family members, because all they do is go to games, and
that's awesome.
It is a constant pain in the ass. We're like,
I know someone that can give you a discount code.
Oh, girl.
Oh,
yes. This is great for the holidays, too.
Yeah, it really is. So.
Because, I mean, really, there's not enough cute stuff for female sports fans.
Yeah.
And the regulations really are what a fucking pain in the
ass. No, it's a pain in the
ass. I have a panic attack before every game. I'm like, oh, my God, what bag am I going to bring?
And the best right now is, like, because a lot of people, you know, like, security is very, they'll, like, see you approaching, and they're like, sorry, that's going to be too big, and you plop it down right in their sizer, and like, no, motherfucker, this is the exact right size. It was made by someone that literally goes to games, like, all the time.
Sarah Colonna says.
Yeah. Yep. So, it's great. So, it fits in their little box that you have to size it in. And like I said, I don't have all team colors. I'm building. But if I don't have your team's color, get a black one.
Yeah.
Or a solid blue one, and just carry it, because you can carry it forever.
I love it. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me plug my purse line.
Duh, girl, that's what we do here. I mean, come on. What, like, really? Like this, I'm starting to feel like with women entrepreneurs, like, it's interesting because I do, like, a lot of ads on my Instagram page. And at first, I was feeling very, like, shameful about it. Like, oh, God, I can't have all these ads. And, like, I'm going to do Diff and FabFitFun. I'm going to look like, you know, like a sellout. And then I was like, fuck that. I'm like, I am a businesswoman, and you are watching me do my business on my Instagram. Like,
like
support me. Be excited when I do a diff post. Be like, girl is making her money.
Yes.
And so that's how I feel about this, too. It's like, this isn't.
I know. It's so funny because I have a hard time. I have such a hard time promoting it on my regular page.
I get it.
And I don't know why, because I should just be like, I started a business, and here I, you know, and it's self-started, like literally invested my own money, like
literally
all the everything's.
You created this. Yeah. I mean, like invest your money, a businesswoman. No, we should all, as women, we should all be supporting other businesswomen. So are you kidding me? Please. That's
I
not a plug.
You.
I just like the product.
Yes. Well, I look very cute with you.
Thanks, girl.
Already. I can tell.
Lots of things look cute with me. Sarah, love you so, so, so much.
I love you.
People can follow you, of course, on all things social media.
Yes. Sarah Colonna, C-O-L-O-N-N-A. And on Instagram, it's Sarah Colonna 1
because
some bitch got there first.
Fucking bitch.
Someone, she got there first.
Did you try to get it back?
No.
It's like, what's the point?
Oh, what's the point? Like, you know, let her, I mean, it's her name.
Yeah, right?
I can't take that from her.
I guess so. know. And you guys, thank you so much for joining us this week on my podcast, Taste of Taylor. Make sure to check out us. Speaking of promoting businesses, I have a radio show. It's subscription-based, $6.95 a month. You get Monday through Friday, 2 hours of live talk radio. You can call in. Yes. So, yeah. So, please, if you like this taste, then subscribe to the Taylor Strecker Show. I won't be ashamed either.
No.
I will promote as well. And, yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. New episodes out every Wednesday. Make sure to share, subscribe, like, comment, all of the above. And, yeah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, girl.
You guys, see you next week. Bye, girl. Bye.
Bye.
Did you enjoy this taste of me? Want more? Then go to taylorstrecker.com and sign up for my daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show, and listen live or on demand.